Today's reading is from Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and then verses 35 to 41. On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Then verses 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be gathered once more in your name. Our thoughts go for all the ladies from our congregation who are meeting to worship you and above all praise you and ask you for all kind of blessings. We are joining in our prayers to reinforce what they are asking for, Lord, in a sincere heart. We thank you for this wonderful book of instruction that you gave us, which is a real treasure for us. We ask you to bless our pastor. Let the Holy Spirit inspire him for today's message entitled Through the Storms of Life. Let this message touch our hearts and minds so that today's message be another good experience for us to keep growing in the knowledge of what you're asking from us and keep improving at your service. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. In 1960, I was packed and ready to come to Canada. And for the first time, I was going into a big boat to travel. I was very excited and scared of the sea. I started enjoying the trip, the good food and everything in the Mediterranean Sea. It was calm. And then we docked in Italy at the port in Italy to take a lot of Italians who were coming to Canada. And these Italians brought their accordions and musical instruments, and they were having a good time, believe me. I thought, oh my goodness, I said, for 10 days I'm going to have all these Italians singing all day, and it's going to be interesting. Well, we spent a couple of days, a day or two, I believe, in the Mediterranean Sea, and then we came into the ocean and started coming toward Canada. And all of a sudden, the musicians came into their little rooms and the music stopped because we were getting seasick. And really was terrible. And I was enjoying the food for the first few days, and then I didn't have the stomach to eat any food. And the storm was so terrible that I said, I'll never travel again in a boat. Well, you know what? I should have expected it, and I should have known that getting into a boat and traveling from one continent to another must be full of interesting situations and the war. Any sailor and any fisherman actually will tell you that storms are part of life for those who are at sea and their families. No matter how hard they try to avoid them, they come. There is no such a thing as saying, okay, I'm going to plan my trip. I'm going to make sure that I avoid those storms. You may be fortunate enough to avoid a storm, but usually you cannot avoid storms. They are part of life. There are storms and difficulties and difficult times in every human life. And you and I, like the disciples in our story, sometimes may wonder whether God really cares what happens to us. Have you ever had an experience like that? Have you ever been through a difficult period of time? You may have lost your job, and the doorbell rings, and the landlord wants his money, and then you get a phone call, and they want their money, and then you look at your bills, and you see that you owe so much, and you have to pay all these bills, and you just pray, you pray hard, and no money is coming in, and you just wonder, are you seeing me, God? Do you really care what's happening to me? Or you have a child that is sick, or your wife or husband is sick, or you're going through a depression, and nobody understands, no one understands. I have a relative that every time we talk to her about health and things, she will say, well, no one understands me. No one understands what I'm going through. And it's true, no one understands her, but everybody else has something that he or she may think that others don't understand. Jesus and his disciples had spent a long day with the people who had come for help. The crowd was so great that he taught them from a boat. Jesus always spoke to them, to the people, with parables. And that day was no exception. Some of the topics he taught that day were the parable of the sower, the candle under the bushel, the coming harvest, the mustard seed. And when once the disciples asked Jesus, why do you always talk in riddles or in parables? Why don't you come out and say what you want to say? And he said that to you it's given to understand some of the things, but to others is not, and so I have to explain it with examples and parables. And Jesus always used examples and parables that would make sense to the hearer, because they were in that kind of a environment, and they would be able to identify with these parables. Here they were a bunch of disciples, or a group of disciples, finishing their wonderful work job, and was very tiring, and now they are going to relax. Here they were. One more day had ended with Jesus still teaching. But this day was going to close with an adventure. A day the disciples would never forget. In verse 35 we read, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. What is interesting, I underlined and I made a circle around the word us, U-S. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. What a great promise this is. This promise speaks of a journey, the journey of life with Jesus. Let us go over. Our journey starts from the moment that little baby is born and dedicated, if you wish. That journey starts when we start breathing. That journey is the journey of life. You did not ask to come to this world, but you came. And so you start breathing and you start seeing things and you start hearing things and you started feeling and enjoying things and disliking other things. This is a journey that you have to take. Some people have tried to cut short their journey because they have given up, because they have been discouraged. But I believe this journey we have to take. And then this journey comes to a point where we start a new kind of a journey. That is when we dedicate our lives to God and we surrender our will. This morning in the adult class we said, what is humility? What is being humble? And the good answer came, surrendering our will, if you wish. And the moment you surrender your will, if you wish, or your life to God, your creator and sustainer, obviously, you have to believe in God, you have to believe in a creator, you have to believe in Jesus in order for you to surrender your life, your will to Him, or else it will be foolish to surrender to something that you don't believe in. So from the moment you make that commitment, surrender your life, your journey sort of changes. And you have now the spiritual journey of life. And in this journey of life, Jesus said, this journey of life will be one that He is going to be with you. He is going to walk it with you, with us. It speaks of a safe passage for the journey. And it speaks of His fellowship with them on the other side. Jesus didn't say, okay, there have been times that Jesus said, okay, go there and I'll come and join you. But this time Jesus says, okay, said to them, okay, let us go there and I'll be there with you. So what a privilege, what a secure thing to have, or security to have Jesus with you in your boat. The Christian life is like a journey, as I said. We may worry when He calls us to follow Him, not knowing whether we will be able to walk the walk, and so we hold back. A lot of people have held back or have not made a commitment to Jesus because they think, well, if I make that commitment, I won't be able to walk it. I won't be able to go to church regularly. I won't be able to pray regularly or at all. I won't be able to live a life that is deprived from going to nightclubs and drinking, getting drunk, or maybe not any of this, but I won't be able to be a Christian and believe in God. And the devil comes up with all these little reasons why you can refuse to surrender your will to God, because he knows that putting those doubts in you will prevent you from having Christ walk this journey with you. But when we decide to travel with Him, He goes with us the entire journey. Jesus guarantees safe passage to heaven to those who travel with Him. Please be sure you are traveling with Jesus in your journey of life. Or rather, make sure that Jesus is traveling with you. You say, how can I make sure? Well, you know, Jesus won't come and break down your own door, door, or the door of your life, if you wish, or your heart. You have to sort of to make a conscious decision to go and open that door so Jesus can come in. Now, the devil, temptations, trials, will come in anyways. They will find a little crack in your life, a little weakness, and they will come in, break down the door if they want to. But Jesus is respectful of your free will, and He'll wait until you open that door. And once you open the door and He comes in, and you sort of welcome Him, He will be always there to walk with you in the journey. That small boat was in great danger, brought by the storm. There came a great storm. There was a great storm of wind. The waves started coming into the ship. The disciples were in trouble, tossed by the huge waves and in danger of being drowned. You would have thought they, of all people, were the safest. Jesus was with them in the boat. They were obeying Jesus, yet the storms came. And oftentimes we believe we have the wrong understanding of being a Christian. Or we think that once I make a commitment, once I pray, and once I invite Christ in my heart, my life is going to be easy. As a matter of fact, there are those who promise that on television. They will tell you, all you have to do is just pray the sinner's prayer and your life will change. Your debts would be paid up, God is going to provide, and your health is going to be restored, and you will always be full of joy and happiness. And you know what? That's not biblical. The Bible says you will have the joy of your salvation for sure. But it doesn't mean that you'll never get sick, and it doesn't mean that you'll never lose your job, and it doesn't mean that you'll never have a difficulty or a problem with your spouse or children or the government. What it means is that even though the circumstances may not change in your life and in your walk, Christ, God, will help you deal with those circumstances and deal with them with His help. They were obeying Jesus, yet the storms came. You are coming to church. You pray. You read the Bible. You do everything that should be done, and yet you've lost your job, or you have problems with your spouse or the children. Well, those things will come because you are alive. They will only stop when we are called home or we die. They were traveling with Jesus, yet the storms came. They were in the center of His will, yet the storm came. So what I'm trying to say this morning is not to discourage you and say, just because you are a Christian, don't think you're not going to be harassed by the devil. You will be harassed by the devil. And sometimes because you are a Christian, and because you have been focusing on Jesus, storms come to us all. Being in Christ's service does not exempt His servants from storms and problems. Why did Jesus allow the storms to come? Jesus knew the storm would come, and yet He did not stop it. Well, God could stop our problems. God could have prevented us from falling and breaking our hand or leg. God could have done something, but He did not do it because we are alive. I just shut it because I wanted to cut. The storm helped them to measure their faith. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to them, do you still have no faith? You see, sometimes when we go through difficult times and our faith is tried and tested, we become stronger. Why did Jesus allow the storm to come? Jesus knew the storm would come, as I said. He could have avoided it or sent the storm away, but He chose to go through the storm with His disciples. Jesus does that often. He allows us to go through temptation, trials, but He is always there to help us deal with these trials. The storm helped them to measure their faith. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to them that they should trust Him and they should allow Him to control their lives when they stop and cannot do it. They actually learned that Christ is with us even in storms. They also learned that He is able to deal with any occasion. Yes, we will go through difficulties and afflictions and storms. Problems are part of life. But these storms teach us many precious lessons that otherwise we would never learn. It is easy to say a word of prayer before and after a storm. Well, it's easy. Before I get into the boat, to have a little prayer, and when I'm about to get out of the boat or come out of the boat, to say another thank you prayer. But what about when you are in the middle of a storm? When the waves are breaking and there is water in the boat, when the noise of your circumstances threaten to drown the prayer of your lips? Have you ever had that kind of an experience? Trying to deal with a terrible situation and you want to pray, and the thoughts and the pressures and the noises of all this confusion in your mind prevent you from praying. And it seems that even the words do not come out from your heart. And so that is why Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Sometimes when we cannot even pray, with groans, we sort of may be weeping and crying, but the Holy Spirit helps us. If faith in God works, it better work then. And yes, faith in God works. But as the disciples learned, there is nothing like a good storm to add life to your prayer. And am I saying that we should ask for storms? No. But when storms come, we should, with God's help, deal with them the best we can. And believe it or not, there aren't two storms that are identical. There are different storms for different purposes. Jonah's storm was to bring him back to the Lord. He ended up in the belly of a fish, and the fish brought him out and with a changed heart. Paul's storm was to provide witnessing opportunities. When Paul's boat got into trouble and he landed in a little island, that was a good opportunity for him to witness to them. This particular storm here in the Bible we read this morning was to build the disciples' faith. We all go through storms, but while we are in the middle of a storm, sometimes we panic. And if you've never panicked, you are a blessed person. I have. We know that Jesus, God Himself, is with us, but just the same, we worry and panic and question and doubt. I do. Do you? But God knows our problems and He cares and He is there to help. Jesus rebuked the storm and said, "Peace, be still." And it was completely calm. Sometimes God will do it right away, and other times will sort of wait until you learn the lesson you are about to learn.
I have, thank you, now it's working, right? The doctor will say, "I told you so, the microphone is not working." Nevertheless, this storm has passed, the microphone is on, and I hope you hear me better now. In the middle of a storm, I have learned to surrender my will to God. And I remember once, and I've shared this before with you, we had a woman who called me a few times and she said, "I am demon possessed." And I said, "Oh yes, okay, I'll pray for you." I didn't believe in such a stuff. That was a long time ago here in this church. Well, I did believe that people can be demon possessed, but I didn't think a demon possessed person would call me and say, "I'm demon possessed." Anyways, she came to the Bible study once, twice, three times, and I realized that she wasn't there to learn, but to sort of create situations that were very uncomfortable and unpleasant for me and others. She called me a couple of times, and while we were talking with her, her voice deepened and became very bizarre, and the conversation was getting out of hand. Finally, one Bible study night, she came and she sat there, and
She was staring at me, and I could not teach, and she was staring at me and asking questions. Finally, at the end, she said, "I want you to pray for me. I'm possessed." I didn't know what to do. I had never had that kind of an experience. I told her to come to my office, and I took an elder with me, and we came upstairs, and I used all the methods I knew how to ask the demon to come out of her and exorcise her, and I had watched a couple of movies. I knew, you know, you go like that and the devil will flee, and you will say a couple of special words, and that satanic power will leave her. I tried everything, and she was getting worse, and she was foaming, and you know, I was looking at the elder, and he was about to run out of the office, and I said audibly, "Oh Lord Jesus, I give up. I don't know what else I can do." And I stopped, and she stopped, and slowly she calmed down, she wiped her face, and she started talking to us. And believe it or not, I've never had an experience like that. I was touching her, and my hand was burning like fire. She was hot. And then she calmed down and started talking to us. What did I learn? I learned that all my methods and all my wisdom was for nothing. I was wasting my time thinking that I had powers. I knew the tricks. The devil is going to listen to me. But the devil does not listen to me or anyone else. The devil will only obey the command that comes from Christ, from God. And I believe that sometimes we do the same thing when we go through trials and temptations and situations that we don't know how to deal with. We use our magical powers, we quote a verse, we say a little prayer that we learned at school or Sunday school, we cross ourselves or come on our knees. We do all kinds of things to deal with that particular situation, and nothing works. And then you give up and you say, "Oh God, I give up. I've tried everything. It's not working. Please take over." And that's when God really takes over and deals with the storm and calms the sea. And if that thing does not change, at least gives you the strength and the ability to deal with that. To the question the disciples ask, "Who is this? Even the storms obey him," the answer is, "He is the one who invites us to travel with him. He is the one who goes with us through our storms. He is the one who is able to deal with all storms." Are you traveling with Jesus? Are you traveling with Jesus in this journey of life? If not, will you invite him in your life? He is the only one who can calm the storms in your life. He is the only one who can give you peace. The peace, this elusive peace that you've been trying to find. You first thought when you grow up and become a teenager you will be happy because of this and the other. And then you became a teenager and you said, "Okay, when I become 20, 25, I'm going to have this. I'm going to have a nice car," and you had a car. Or maybe you didn't. But nevertheless, you had your own dreams that came to reality, and still you felt that emptiness, that absence of peace. And then you said, "I'm going to get married, I'm going to have a relationship with the other sex, and I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to be happy." And you've tried everything. You got married, some of you, and others are hoping to get married. But believe it or not, no matter what you do, unless God fills that vacuum that is there, you're not going to find the absolute peace and serenity that your soul is searching for. Religion cannot do it. Church cannot do it. Books cannot do it. Television cannot do it. Drugs can't do it. Immorality cannot do it. Nothing can fill that vacuum, that space. It's like taking a triangle or a square to fit into a circle or a whatever. Only God can. And unless you invite God, your creator. And again, I've spoken to people who don't believe in God. And every time I say something like that, oh, yeah, there is no God. Well, if they don't believe in God, then obviously my words are empty. But the Bible also says nothing will go for, and not the word of God never is lost. Eventually will that heart, that a stone heart, will melt when he faces God. My wish is that for those who have not accepted the Lord, to not wait until the end, because it may even be too late. And Jesus said, now is the time of salvation. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. Lord, where I failed, may the Holy Spirit take over and interpret your words. Where I made mistakes and said the wrong thing, may the Holy Spirit erase them from our hearts. But only your words may stay in our life and our lives and hearts. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning for the Holy Spirit's touch. The Holy Spirit is here to strengthen us, help us, amend our lives if we surrender our life to you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Be with us and guide us and protect us. In your blessed name I pray. Amen.